questions. Chair, I will first start with the CFO to respond to the questions that relate to a branch, and should be followed by Mr. Mbambo. After Mr. Mbambo, we'll get Mr. Maqubela. After Mr. Maqubela, then it will be Mr. Zondi. After Mr. Zondi, we will get Jacob Mbele. And so that will be the order. And Mulauzi will come in at the end as the head of the strategy. And also corporate services before Mulauzi, it will come in the DDG corporate services, because we have questions relating to corporate services. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Over to you, CFO and colleagues.
Thank you, DG. Chair, the question raised by Honorable Smith on irregular expenditure, for me to provide an explanation. The irregular expenditure was for the nuclear new build program. The branch or the program procured an IT system for the nuclear new build program, and by classification by the AG, the AG believed this was irregular. The department, the then DOE, participated in terms of section 16A 6.6, on a competitive bid that was undertaken by the Free State Treasury. So the department participated in that bid, and the AG felt that the bid was irregular because certain terms of reference or the specification was not in sync, if I put it that way. So that was the 171 million for the nuclear new build program. It was a system. The balance of the funding in the main was also nuclear new build program, and it was for the transactional advisors. And here again, the AG classified it as irregular. And this was a dispute, part of the dispute that the department had with the AG. The department tried its level best to argue its point, that it was not irregular, but the AG refused that explanation for the past two financial years. That was 17-18 and 18-19, and the department was qualified for those 2 years in terms of the audit outcome. However, in the 19-20, the department accepted the irregular and we disclosed it. There was also a similar question raised by the chairperson for the 8.5. Yes, Chair, it was also irregular. It was two payments for the nuclear new build IT system that was paid in the 1920 financial year. So it increased the irregular. So 8.5 was spent in the 1920 financial year. Surplus and wasteful expenditure of 19.1 million. And there was also on the irregular. To explain how the department will address it. Chair, and there was also another question on the financial records raised by Honorable Ingrania of how the department will address these issues. There has been an audit finding, there's been a recommendation by the AG. The department also responded of what action they would be implementing and by what date. In the department, the practice is that internal audit, after we've made our commitment of how we're going to correct these audit findings, internal audit goes to verify the progress and they report at EXCO, and they also report the progress made on audit findings, that the implementation of the recommendations, to our audit committee on a quarterly basis. So most of the actions, plans that we've had for the department to address the audit findings has been implemented. And that will hold true for fruitless and wasteful expenditure as well as irregular. But yeah, I also want to point out that once an expenditure happens, if someone has not followed due process, by virtue of the definition, it immediately becomes irregular. So you cannot undo the irregular part of it. However, consequence management follows. Payments to creditors, it was a challenge, and I was asked to explain the challenge. explain my presentation, I tried that to explain that we in finance have a central receiving point for invoices. But sometimes, because service providers work closely with project management and they work closely at the regional offices, they do submit their paperwork directly to the project managers. So the time lag between the project managers submitting that payment to finance to effect payment is delayed. Apart from that, at times, some of our projects require verification before payments are effected. And that verification process sometimes does not move according to plan. And we will not pay if the verification has not been done. So we have been affected in that area, especially for payment within 30 days. Revenue collection in terms of announcement. Yes, Chair, we have looked at our performance for the past financial year in both DMR and DOE, and we have implemented further controls to improve our revenue collection. And some of them are in the petroleum side. There's been a credit card machine there introduced, so retailers can pay their license fees immediately when they ready to site visits. And at the time of change of ownership in retail or manufacturing sites, before that change of ownership happens, you are now expected to clear out all outstanding debt before that change of ownership happens. And the DDG is here, and perhaps we can also contribute to some of the changes and improvements that happened in the children on that for the revenue collection. Chair, I think I've covered all my slides. Thank you, DG.
Thank you, Mr. Fong. Over to you, Mr. Mbambo.
Thank you very much, DG and the honorable members. I'm going to respond on the question raised by the honorable member, Honourable Member Smith, about what were the challenges that were experienced by the department in dealing with the stakeholders relating to the National Nuclear Regulatory Amendment Bill and the Farm Bill. I think it's important just to inform the committee that the legislation is an area that requires consultation with a range of stakeholders, and it's quite a difficult one in terms of then managing how you progress with it, because stakeholders respond at different pace, and you need to consult with them to make sure that there's an alignment. With regards to the NNR amendment bill, one of the important areas that was included as part of the amendment was the regulation of cosmic radiation exposure of the aircrew. And this was a new area that we proposed that was proposed as part of the amendment. And there were delays then in the consultation with the Civil Aviation Authority in terms of agreeing with them in terms of how this area could be then regulated. And then what the department then had was that we finally organized two meetings, which included the National Nuclear Regulator and the department and the Civil Aviation Authority to resolve on that outstanding issue that was included as an amendment. So the matter was finally resolved, and the bill is now in progress to the Chief State Law Advisor. When it comes to the Farm Bill, the Chief State Law Advisor needed clarity on the governance structure of the fund, and that resulted in the delays because they were also within the Chief State Law Advisor. But these were finally then resolved between the department and the Chief State Law Advisor in terms of advising what will be the governance structure that will manage the fund to ensure that the MRADI will manage the radioactive waste on a national basis, ensuring that there's sustainability of the funding with regards to the projects to manage long-term waste management issues. Thank you.
Thank you very much, DG, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members of the Select Committee, good afternoon. The question I'm going to be dealing with is on the SLP. I think it was raised by Honorable Member Arnold, as well as the Honorable Member Ngwenya. On SLPs, the reason that we are not able to achieve what we planned is it mainly relates to two issues. One is the consultation with the members of the community. It tends to take longer than expected. That is the main issue, and that is an ongoing challenge. But in the year in question, the issue was consultation that took longer, but also the pressing needs of the community. In the middle of the consultation, the needs of communities sometimes change, and therefore then the project that was planned initially has got to be changed, and then we start from the beginning. Perhaps in the year in question also, the other issue is that honorable members would be aware that we only report on SLPs that we have inspected. We don't report on the ones that have not been inspected because we need to verify that the work has been done. So in cases where there are financial constraints for inspectors to go out and inspect projects, we then tend not to, in fact, we don't report on those because we don't want to claim projects being completed when we have not conducted inspections. So that's also another contributing factor. I think there's an issue that has been raised by the CFO on the issue of revenue collection. It is true that we need to improve on the petroleum side on revenue collection. What we have now agreed with the oil companies is that they will assist us, particularly in collecting in the collection of revenue from retailers, because that is the bulk of revenue that we are not able to collect. So there is a program that we have started with the oil companies to ensure that the retailers that are affiliated to their respective oil companies are able to be up to date, with what they owe the state. Unless I've missed the question, I think those were the ones that have an impact on the branch. Thanks, DG. Thanks, Chef.
Thank you very much, DG.
DG,
Honorable Mbele.
Thank you, DG. Good afternoon, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Member. I think the questions that I'm going to respond to, the first one is the one around the revised target for renewable energy, the terms of reference. The question was around why did we revise the impact be for the 2020-2021. And the reason for revising the target is that when the target was put together halfway through, there is a process that was started by the DTIC to develop sector master plans. This master plan is not an energy master plan. The energy master plan was a plan that details the renewable energy development in the country. Is the integrated resource plan, which details the energy mix that the country would pursue up to the period of 2050. This other work is work that is meant to look at the renewable energy in the integrated resource plan and say how do we get the most out of it in the form of localization and industrialization. So the target was revised to align with the process that was started by the DTIC. So that is the reason for the change. And work in this regard is underway to develop that plan. The other question was around what are the plans to deal with the challenges in the solar paper program. I mean, the initial challenges had to do with storage. Most of the solar heaters have been distributed to participating municipalities. There is a plan, I'm sure, at an appropriate time through DG. The department can come back and share with the community the plan, the detailed plan on the solar heater program. There are installations that are currently underway. The last time I checked, I think there was about 1,000 units or so that were already installed in Mafikeng. The program is still experiencing challenges, and some of the challenges we believe that are outside of the department's control. For example, for challenges such as municipalities that had given beneficiary lists, but following the technical assessment, we found that some of those beneficiaries, the houses are not in a state where you can actually put solar water heaters on the roof. Others, is that when you get to those houses, you find that because they were not built on the basis of current building standards, there is additional material that's required to be able to install the solar water heaters, which then results in some delays in the program. But as I indicated, there is a plan to fast-track the installation working with municipalities, but the municipalities as well in terms of flexibility, in terms of where there are challenges around the beneficiaries changing the areas will go a long way in making sure that the work on the ground is good speed. The other issue that was raised was around the challenges that come with moving to green energy. As I indicated, I think in the case of South Africa, we do recognize that energy security will not come from one source of energy. Hence, we have the integrated resource plan that spells out a mix of energy resources that include renewable energy to deal with the challenges of energy and also to mitigate against unintended consequences that might come with a change in the energy mix or the technology. DG, I think I'll stop here unless I miss other questions. I'll be reminded and then I can respond to those things.
Thank you very much, DG. Mr. Zondi?
Thank you, DG, Honorable Chairperson, and Honorable Members of the Select Committee. I would like to respond to the questions that were raised by Honorable Smith, as well as the Honorable Chairperson. My first response to the question that was raised by Honorable Smith on the challenges that they were facing as a branch is that currently, most of our mines in the gold and the platinum sector are underground mines. And the biggest risk or the highest risk that we're having in the gold and platinum sector is falls of ground and seismic accident. And I also want to highlight also that some of our mines are very deep. They are deep as 4.5 kilometers. And for us to be able to manage this particular risk of falls of ground and seismicity, is that we issued an instruction to the sector that before they open, especially the old workings, or before they mine what you call the shaft pillar, they needed to submit plans to the department that we can be able to assess what will be their mining method to make sure that it's as safe as possible. And also, secondly, is that also 3 years ago, we also established a task team for the sector, which comprises of the department, organized labor, as well as mine management, to see how can we best manage at the risk of falls of ground and seismicity in the mining sector. And our second biggest challenge, Honorable Chairperson and members, is occupational diseases. And the main challenge with the occupational diseases is that there is a time lag of 10 to 15 years between when the employees are exposed to high noise or dust levels and before they are diagnosed with the different occupational diseases. And what we are doing as a department to make sure that this is properly managed in this sector is that we are closely monitoring the exposure levels of employees to make sure that they are not overexposed. And in cases where they are overexposed, the mining companies are required to take the necessary corrective action. And the majority of our occupational diseases are mainly due to pulmonary tuberculosis, noise-induced hearing loss, and psychosis. And to respond to the question that was raised by the Honorable Chair with regard to the fatalities in the different commodities, and I wanted to highlight that in the gold sector, we had 24. And I must just also acknowledge the typing error in the presentation, that the platinum sector had 21 and not 8, and it was the coal sector that had the 8 fatalities. Again, like I said earlier on, that our biggest risk in the gold and platinum sectors are the falls of ground and seismic related accidents and fatalities. They are the major contributors of fatalities in those two commodities. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Zondi. DDG Kamete. DDG Kamete, I don't know what is happening now. Okay, no, it is fine. So it's seemingly the DDG, I know that she was supposed to be. I think, I don't know, I can't see her here now. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I'll just wrap up and I'll take a note of your request as well, that if there are any outstanding questions, we try to respond to those questions in writing, and so we'll compare the notes in that regard. Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, let me start also by thank you very much with your comments and also hard questions that you have asked. I think that is a clear sign, you know, that you are hard at work. And I derive a comfort from the fact that one can also see that you are familiar with the work that you are doing. And so that is informed by the questions that you have posed to the department. I just want to clarify a few points that emanate from the questions by honorable members. On the issue of the new nuclear build program, the software that was procured, I'm sure the interest will be for you to understand after the irregular expenditure has been disclosed to the AG, of course, as you know that if there is such a kind of a finding, then we need to conduct investigations and there must also be a consequence management. And so I can confirm to the honorable members that that is a process that we are currently busy with. I'm sure when we appear before the committee, when we are required to give a progress report, we should be able to give you an update in regard with the work that would have done in dealing with this matter. The other issue, Chair, it is in relation with a solar heater program. I think just on the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, I can safely confirm that we are hard at work working together with the National Treasury on this matter because we believe that where there is a need, in fact, not where there is a need already, there is a decision that has been taken. As you are aware that this matter also served before Cabinet, and Cabinet made a pronouncement around it. And so we are currently busy dealing with the investigations. And also even on this matter, we will come back and give a feedback at the right time to the honorable members. There is a question, or there was a question on the measure by, I think, Honorable Arnold, on the question of the staff morale. You would notice that this process, it took much longer than expected. The reason for that was to allow all the relevant stakeholders to engage on the process, because we had to also to involve labor in our, you know, task team that was led by Mr. Mlauzi as the head of strategy. And I think, let me give this a proper context. We have allowed parties to engage on the process, and that gave us a result, the results that we are having now of successfully placing our employees, because if you look at the total number of employees that we have been able to place, you'll see that we have more of a success to tell, you know, the committee about. It was managed very well. Where we still have issues, those are minor issues that we can easily, or we are dealing with them, but there are no serious issues that one can report in relation with the measure of the two departments. We will remember that the primary objective of the measure or the reconfiguration of government departments was to ensure that the government or the state is able to respond to the service delivery in a manner that is efficient and also effective. And now with the staff that you are having, we have to reprioritize and make sure that some of the people that need to be reskilled are reskilled, and they are given other responsibilities within the department. Now, what we can also confirm is that the process did not affect the employees adversely. Adversely, I mean that where people had to lose their jobs, they are all, you know, safe. All the jobs have been saved, and so the process is moving quite very well. And so we have never had issues around the staff morale. We are still discharging our duties as per the plans and the mandate of the department. There was also a question, I think I must just overemphasize this point, that as the honorable members have raised, the issue of audit outcome, that we need to put measures in place to make sure that we improve our audit outcome. We also look at our entities. We must also come up with measures that would enable us to improve on our audit outcome as a department. And so we have taken note of that. It's a very important point. In fact, it's a matter that we are preoccupied with as a department. In our ESCOM meetings, we also engage in this matter to establish in terms of the process where we are, because as we know that the amalgamation of the two departments has resulted in us having to make sure that we move with the necessary speed in addressing issues that were from the former two departments, the then DOE and former DMR. And so we are hard at work, that's what we can confirm to the honorable members, in making sure that we attend to these issues. Then overall, I think the DDGs have responded to the issues, but where there have been delays, of course, we have to put measures in place. We understand the overall sentiment that comes from the committee around issues of service delivery. I will pause there, Honorable Chair, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much, DG. I think Honorable Arnold, I saw his back. I don't know whether he has been kicked out again. I just wanted to give him, because when he was kicked out, he had not yet finished. You can just use the mic and avoid the video, Honorable Arnold. Are you there? Honorable Arnold? This seems to be struggling again. The follow-up questions. In terms of the questions that we said they might not have been answered well, ASCA will compare and contrast with the DG, and they are put in writing so that they can be made available to the committee. Honorable Ngwenya?
Thanks very much, Chairperson, and also thank you for the response of my question. Chair, I don't have any follow-up question. I thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. Thank you very much. I don't see any hand from members. I think, DG, what you can do is just to compare with the our committee secretary areas that we think might have not been covered, and you put them in writing and bring them to us. Let me thank you, DG, for, together with your team, for the responses that you have given to the committee, and also want to thank you for the improvement in the audit outcomes. I think from our side, we do oversight in relation to your audit action plan as to whether you are indeed putting measures and following up on the audit action plan. By the look of things, even before the measure, the DOE and DMR, all of them, you can see that there is room for serious improvement. Which can move us from the unqualified audit with finding to unqualified audit without finding. That is our destination, all of us as the committee together with you. And I think by the look of things, we can move together to that required destination. Thank you very much. We can release you for now and allow committee members to remain. You are released, DG.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and Honorable Members. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Goodbye.
Bye-bye, man. Oscar?
Yes, Chair.
Maybe don't go.
Yes, Chair.
the chair didn't even actually even greet me goodbye.
Smith is not going anywhere.
Okay, you were saying bye-bye, that's why. I said, hey, you don't go.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ted.